Mom's Worst Day podcast is an avenue for mothers to share their stories, things that did not go quite as planned, and interesting trials that come with motherhood. The podcast aims to encourage and uplift women, ease the burden of their ever-present mom guilt, and to let them know that they're not alone. I'm your host, Nicole Chikwe, and welcome to Mom's Worst Day. You've got this, mama. Okay, so hi, everyone. Welcome to Mom's Worst Day podcast. Mom's Worst Day podcast is an avenue for mothers to share their stories, things that did not go quite as planned, and interesting trials that come with motherhood. I'm your host, Nicole Chikwe, aka the most premium pie in Lagos. And welcome to the podcast. I'm here with the beautiful, talented entrepreneur slash actress slash supermama, Tanya Motayo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you. I really, really appreciate you being here. Fine. You have no idea. So on your way out, just meet one of our producers. Okay. They'll give you like a small bag of onions, one half keg of palm wine. You know I'm evil. I do gifts. Just meet them downstairs. So I was going to ask you about Sarai's party. Hey.
Her wedding?
Literally, it was her. I don't even know if it was her. It was your wedding for sure. Because the way you were dancing, they were spraying you. I was weak. God. I was watching it like, this next her third. If I'm not there, hey, I'm going to scatter this.
Oh my God. So there's actually a backstory. People just see the glam and it's like, oh my God, she's outrageous. Oh my God, she's so dramatic or extra or whatever. No. She'd never had a first party because that was the beginning of the actual very first lockdown. Like, right. I even had to beg and drive through police to get a cake for her so it could be somewhat normal. And then, contrary to what people believe, I don't really like big things. So I never had a big traditional or white wedding. In fact, my traditional was supposed to be like, first of all, I lied to everyone. I told them they were coming to my intro. When they got there, they realized it was actually my trad.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I was supposed to have like, I think 40 people, 20 on each side, and it ended up being like 80. I was really upset. My white wedding, actually, there were only 20 people and it was in my living room. And I transformed it into like the most dreamy space.
And, wow.
Yeah.
Like literally my mouth is open because
first of all, I don't even know. Yes. How these pictures still haven't come out because nobody has ever seen them. Mm-hmm. Shout out to our friends and family for not leaking these pics because
listen, like it's so important to have like a tight-knit circle because these are people that keep your gist and keep it well. Because I didn't even know you'd done like a white because there are no pictures.
I've seen some pictures of your trad. On people DMing me, you're not even married yet, Tanya, doing this and that. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not worthy.
Well, first of all, you are married because even if we didn't see the white wedding pictures in Nigeria, we saw your trad, so you are legally married.
See, what I realized from that is people here, as long as it's not on social media, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't count, right?
I'm just like, okay, well, you're never going to see it. Mm-hmm. Or I might change my mind. But until then, you know, I love it. Like, we have something private in this day and age where everything is so public. And absolutely. I feel like I've had a public life for so long that keeping certain parts to myself or like my family, that was really important for me. So with Sarai's birthday, I was like, you know what? There's so many people that didn't come for any of these things. Mm. And before I wake up one day and just post those pictures and people are angry, I'll be like, oh, but you came to Sarai's party. Mm-hmm. That was your thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like our big one for everything. So we celebrated everything like with, you know, more people. So that's why it was so big.
Well, it was beautiful. Thank you. You looked so gorgeous.
Thank you.
Your dress was so nice.
Okay,
so,
Ziva.
No,
hey, Ziva.
I know it's Ziva. So trust me, like I'm just waiting. I wanted time to go small. Then now I'm like, hey, please, I need that. Size 12. So if anyone sees me rocking Tanya's dress, please don't judge me. The dress is nice. Whatever.
Thank you.
So you had mentioned that you weren't able to do something for Sarai's first birthday because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So how did you find that whole like super lockdown period? Was that really stressful, especially with having a baby? Has she started school? How did that affect her?
To be honest, I was very, very sad. Like, I kind of felt like I had failed. I can't explain it, but that's how I felt. But now I'm super grateful because she actually got to enjoy her party because she's more aware of things. If we had done this when she turned one, it would have been a waste because she wouldn't have understood. And like, even now, she wakes up every day and she's like, "Mommy, I want to go to a party. I want to go and shake bum bum and ride a train."
Listen.
That's what she wants to do.
I love it. That is hilarious.
Yeah, she gets it. So even though I was quite depressed at that time, and, you know, I had already started planning and paying for things because I didn't think, you know, we live in a country where sometimes things don't really go according to plan. So I was just like, yeah, whatever, they're going to ease it. It's never going to last, you know. But they didn't. In fact, it got worse and worse. So, yeah, I felt very sad. But I'm now really happy that everything turned out the way that it did.
That's amazing. Do you want to hear a really sad story?
Oh, my God.
So my youngest child, So-So, she turned 2 October 25th, and I had COVID. I couldn't see her on her birthday.
Oh, I don't know what I would have done. Wow.
I was in isolation, and, yeah, she turned 2. Yeah. I was so miserable. Like, you know, imagine. When you feel like, okay, I'm like, I have actually failed as a person, as a mom. Like, I have. And the thing is, you're already walking this really tight rope, right? So just managing to think that you're a good mom. So when something like that happens, I was like, oh, I'm the worst mom ever. So Nato was like taking pictures downstairs with her and her cake. But it's just, well, it's okay. It's okay. Wow. It's fine. But, you know.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're here, Sha. It's fine. You know, her third birthday, I'm going to do it like Sarai's second. And I'm going to be wearing my Ziva dress.
Okay.
Shaking it. And hopefully people will spray me. That's my plan. So a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Question one. When you found out you were pregnant, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, oh, Lord, why me? And 10 being, I'm so happy I could die. What number were you? Scale of 1 to 10, how happy were you when you found out you were pregnant?
I think I was more shocked than happy. Not in a bad way, because I was obviously happy. And like most people know that I have like endometriosis. So it was like a bittersweet because the moment you're happy, then it's like, wait, can I curse? Because I curse a lot. No? Okay. It's like, oh, sugar, you know, what if something goes wrong, you know? So I was really, really happy, but I was really, really scared because I'm like, you know, this is awkward. What if something goes wrong? Will I be able to handle it? And I lived in fear for a little bit, but I was happy. But I also didn't tell anybody till I was about 6 months, not even my parents. Yeah.
Wow.
I was scared. Like, I just felt like if I said it, it would make it real and then something would go wrong.
Right.
And I wasn't ready to deal with that. And I wasn't showing until I was like 7, 8 months. So I was able to, like,
flex.
From the front, you wouldn't be able to know.
Really?
Literally only from the side, yeah.
I don't know why I don't have that luck, you know. Like, with all 3
because
kids, right?
Because you're naturally so tiny.
I don't know if that's what it is, because I've just never had, like, literally by like month 3, everyone's like, wow, it's a baby, congrats. So that's really stressful. And I love that you said that you were worried. And I mean, I don't have endo or anything. I know a number of people who do, but I felt the same way. I was so scared when I got pregnant, and I kept waiting for that fear to pass. So I kept saying to myself, okay, you know, once I get to 12 weeks, right? Because when you get to 12 weeks, the chances of you miscarrying lower, then I'll feel better. And then I was like, okay, no, let me get to the kicks. When she starts or he starts kicking, then I would know. And then it was like, okay, well, let me, once I get to labor, once I actually see the baby. And, you know, now it's been 8 years and I'm still scared. That anxiety never quite leaves.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
I don't know. It's so stressful. So speaking of pregnancies, what was the best part of pregnancy for you?
The best part was everybody was so nice to me. Wow. I got constant foot rubs and back rubs. Nobody let me lift a finger. Like, sometimes I want to get pregnant just so people are nice to me.
Girl.
And then I think about the consequences. And I'm like, maybe not.
Well, sorry to burst your bubble, sis.
The second part.
That's the first one. No, the first one, like, everyone babies you.
Yes.
Like, everyone's just like, if you're walking, no, don't carry this.
Do you understand?
You know, you're like, oh, I'm hungry. Everyone's running around, like, helter-skelter, trying to find food for you. It's amazing. So, I got pregnant pretty quickly after my first. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm pregnant. Where are my slaves? I'm like, I'm hungry. Nobody is shaking, vibrating. I'm like, I said I'm hungry. And this was like, so go to the kitchen. I'm like, oh.
Okay.
The kitchen? Okay. Where's that? So yeah, no one, it's only the first man. I mean, I hope it's different for you.
Maybe because yours was so close to each other, because now people are waiting and I'm just taking my sweet time. So maybe by the time I'm ready, it's like, okay, here I am. You asked and I answered.
And I answered and I am pregnant. I am with child. Worship me.
Exactly.
Well, fingers crossed. I hope it works out for you because it did not.
I'll be so sad. Like, that's going to be a rude shock.
Don't worry. It'll be fine. Fingers crossed for you, sis. I'm praying. No, it wasn't. And with each child, it gets even, because they're like, by my third child, it's like, what do you mean?
No, yeah,
come
by,
on, go and
three.
Pound to your yam.
Yeah.
Do you mean? Who's going to start answering you at 2 in the morning? What rubbish is that?
Well, no, I don't think I can handle that. I need to mentally prepare for what will happen if nobody babies me. Maybe I should just start warning them.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because now that you know, I've let you know. So be like, oh, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
When I'm ready, you know how we did for Sarah. We're gonna just replay that because I can't.
Oh my god.
And what was the worst part of being pregnant for you?
Oh my god, this is TMI, but I'm too real for my own good.
Okay. Listen.
So, did you have a boil while you were pregnant, by any chance?
When I was pregnant the second time, yes.
Okay. So I was about over 7 months. Like, I was pushing 8 at this point. And I had a boil somewhere where I really just shouldn't have had one. And I couldn't sleep. I couldn't move. I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't do anything. It was the most painful thing I've ever experienced in my whole entire life. And then they gave me like this cream and obviously I couldn't bend, so my husband had to do it. So all of my chakra, first of all, went out of the window.
Girl,
wow.
Girl,
wow. I was like, is this me, like, busting it wide open for you to put cream? Like, oh,
and
no,
not
no,
in like
no.
a sexy way, you know, like this is not what I planned for my life.
Yeah.
And yet here we are. But that's the thing, like, pregnancy, it will
humble you.
It will
humble you. Oh my god. Because there's nothing glamorous. Wow. There's just, I mean, you look cute. You're glowing sometimes.
Sometimes.
Lucky. My neck got really black. I was so discolored. But that was really it. Other than that, to be honest, my pregnancy was very smooth. I had no issues, no
nausea, no spitting.
No spitting.
Blessed.
Yeah, because when I see people doing it, I'm like, God, please don't let this be, because I don't know what I would do.
No, it's not cute.
Yeah, it's really. And then, like, some people do it, like, in bottles, like, in public. And I'm like, you know, I know that you can't do anything about this, but really, this is a lot to
it
take
is.
In. So I just hope that won't be me.
Fingers crossed, because pregnancy can surprise you.
I know.
It's horrible. I know someone who had morning sickness up until the day she, like, even in the hospital in labor, she was throwing up from, like, morning sickness. Pregnancy is hard. Like, I don't understand how people love it. I know people who genuinely enjoy pregnancy.
Yeah.
I've never enjoyed pregnancy, not for one day.
I enjoyed mine. I actually really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good.
It. Other than that one situation, it was perfect, seamless.
That's good. That's really, you're lucky.
Insomnia sometimes, but that's just because you're uncomfortable.
Especially as you get heavier, trying to find, like, a good position to sleep in.
The last few days, I was like,
is this what it feels like to be a whale? Like, why am I so big? Why can't I move? Like, you're wobbling.
You're wobbling. Yeah, you're just like, yeah, like literally like a penguin.
Yes.
Literally. No,
it's like a whale. You're walking like a penguin. It's just, it's not cute. My face was like swollen.
Mm, mine too. Did you?
I don't have any pictures from that. I don't have pictures from 8.5 months till maybe 2 months after.
Mm.
I refused.
Like, did you have a baby shower?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I had my baby shower late at like 8 months.
Okay. Okay. So maybe there's some pictures there.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I didn't
still
have
from
any
then,
from
yeah.
that point. No, even after. I did like 2 weeks. But from 8.5 months. That lasts like 3 weeks to like 2 months after.
Because there's no need to remember that. Why? Who needs
to
remember
that?
But then
when you want to show people, I'll be like, oh my God, I was so big. Let me look. I don't have any pictures. I literally, sometimes I want to see like the transformation, but I have no evidence that I was ever that size mm-hmm. or that I ever looked that way. So it just seems like I'm lying.
Mm.
I don't appreciate that.
But. Oh man. No, for me, there's absolutely no need for that. I don't want to remember. It's okay. Like if you want, believe me.
Yeah.
You know, if you want, don't.
Yeah.
That's fine. But there's no need for me to remember that last mm-hmm, week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because, anyway, that's one of the questions I'm going to ask because you had mentioned not sleeping the last like week.
Mm-hmm.
If I could go back, right, to that last week, I would tell Nicole, sleep. You are never gonna
sleep again. Yep.
You are never, this sleep, just sleep it because you will never sleep again.
People can't understand. Like, I never understood. In fact, it used to annoy me when people would be like, oh, sleep now because you're never going to sleep again. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not going to sleep? Like, how does that even make sense?
Exactly.
That's not logical. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you're chatting rubbish. Okay. I wish I could. I haven't slept in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, properly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have so much work and mm-hmm. so many events. Everybody decided to get married at the same time. and then I have a kid who really does not care if I was out till 5 a.m. because she still needs attention at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just here floating and I don't know.
And just
floating.
Doing your best because you're also trying to have like some sense of normalcy
mm-hmm.
and control over your own life as well, because it's easy to get swept up in being a mom and never leaving the house again because you're just trying to be mm-hmm. the best mom. Mm-hmm. But then what about your social life? What about your friends? What about seeing people? Like, how do you find it difficult to have a social life now that you're a mom?
So this is the thing. It seems like I have one, but I really don't. And I'll say it seems simply because these are obligations. Like, my friend is getting married. I have to be there.
It's
not a choice. It's not me being social. In fact, I'm working because I'm a bridesmaid, you know?
Right.
Or, you know, it's somebody's birthday. That's an obligation. I don't consider that, you know, like, oh, let's just hang out for drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to go to drinks with my friends for like 3 weeks now. It has failed every single
Have you been
week.
To slow?
Yeah, for a bridal shower thing.
Okay, that's nice. Well, you've been. I still, because I'm just still looking at the pictures from Instagram, like, one day.
No, the food
I'm
going
to make
really
it
good.
To slow and take my own picture so that people know that
me
too, I'm
there,
in Lagos
right?
with them.
I just feel like if I didn't have a job, maybe this would be easier. Because
right.
I, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I belong to my child till 1 p.m., right?
Right?
After that, I'm able to get ready, go to work. Then I belong to my office till about 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then I belong to my child till she goes to bed.
Right.
At what time or at what point am I really going to say, oh, let me just grab what? At what time? Because I need to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still have work to do. You still have to reply emails, messages, whatever. At work, I still don't have time. I don't know what I do there, but I still don't have time to do the things that I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up doing them at night.
Mm-hmm.
Every night of my life, I tell myself that I'm going to be asleep by 9 o'clock, by 2 a.m.
That's so cute. 9 o'clock? That is adorable.
Okay, it's been 2 years. It has not.
That is so cute.
But when I was pregnant, I slept quite early. And obviously, because I would be so uncomfortable, I would wake up early. So I got into that routine. And then obviously, when they come, me just don't sleep, period.
Right. Yeah.
So I was used to sleep, and I was like, oh, this is going to be my life from now on, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be respectable. I'm going to be great.
Because I need 8 hours of sleep a day to be my best self. So that's my plan.
And then interrupted sleep is the worst thing ever created.
100% agree. 100% agree.
It just does not I sleep, what, let's say 8 hours, but I have to wake up twice in between.
Right.
So it's no longer 8 hours. In fact, it's nothing, because the first few hours are, you know, useless.
Right.
I have a headache.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a morning person.
Same.
So this waking up at 6:30 every day. In fact, I just stopped this term taking my child to school myself in the morning.
Because right.
I'm like, you know what? The sleep would have cleared so much from my eyes that it will literally be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I still wake up. But now I wake up at 6:45.
Okay.
Okay, extra 15 minutes.
No, but it counts. It helps.
And then I make her food, her lunchbox or whatever. I make sure she's dressed right. And I'm like, okay, love you. See you later.
Mm-hmm. And you always have like the best, like obviously, because I'm a fan and stalker. So I know typically what Sarai has. Like I'm like, oh, what's next? Like, I wonder what snacks are I going to have today. Oh, carrots. Okay. Okay, this is cute. And then you do on like a little chopping board size kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Give me optics.
So that's my bonding. It seems like I'm crazy. In fact, I get a lot of messages asking me if I'm really normal. But I'm like, you know what? I work all day. I'm not here during the day. So this morning time where I get to make her lunchbox is actually, even though she's not there, it's my bonding time. It makes me feel like I'm a good mom, because
right.
that's my thing. You know, I feel like every mom has their thing.
Right.
And we all cannot be the same.
Like, absolutely.
I'm not a ride or die mom that, you know, will not sleep at night and, you know, let my baby wake me up 10 times a night. That's not me. You know, mm-hmm. she sleeps in her room.
Mm-hmm.
I sleep in mine. So this little food stuff that I can do, please let me be
Let me do it.
And let me do it without making me feel guilty or making me feel bad or whatever. But yeah, that's it. And then I go back to sleep. So
isn't that so weird, right? How, especially with like social media, you mm-hmm. can't really win. Because
no, you
if you're
win.
Sitting
Period.
At home, you know, chopping up vegetables and fruit, and you're like, oh, I'm giving my kids a healthy snack. It's what I'm doing today. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess you don't have anything better to do. Why are we showing this? And then if you just let your child have Pringles, it's like, I can't believe
that you have the audacity.
You're like processed food.
Do you understand?
How dare you? You're an unfit mother.
Yep.
And it's like, you just can't win. That's why you just need to do you, man.
Yeah.
Either which way, as long
I
as that baby is fed.
Posting it for a while, and I never planned to post it again. But the amount of messages I got, wow, it was shocking, because people were like, okay, but what's my child gonna eat tomorrow? Because I use your posts to know what I'm gonna give my kid the next day.
Oh, wow.
Or, you know, like people ask different things, and I realized that even if it's one mom that is going to benefit from not having to worry about what to give their kid the next day, then I've done something and I've helped someone, because it's not easy. I enjoy food. I live for food. So it's like second nature, you know, it
mm-hmm.
comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the reason why she doesn't have biscuits and all of those things is not because I don't want it, but her school, they're like, you're not allowed any biscuits. You're not allowed any juice. You're not allowed anything processed. It has to be like healthy food.
Oh,
for
amazing.
School.
Okay.
Yeah. So I even bought a whole carton of Oreos, all these things. Okay, I dashed them out because
school said no.
They were like, no, sis, this is not happening here. They're not allowed juice. They're not allowed any of those things. So you have to become creative with veggies and fruits, because, I mean, there are only so many fruits available here. There are only so many vegetables
mm-hmm.
that can be given, you know, in a snack box.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes we repeat a lot of things because, I mean, we don't really have that many options.
And that's fine, as long as she's getting, you know, good nutrition.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love it. Like, I really enjoy the post. So just keep doing what you do. No pressure. But I love it. So what has been an unexpected difficulty of being a mom?
Mom guilt.
Mm.
To be honest, I don't think I ever heard about it. Or I probably never paid attention or try to understand what that could mean. I did not expect to
have as much mom guilt as I do have. In fact, like I said, I didn't expect it at all. Mm. And with having a job, it's hard. And then some days I just don't want to get out of bed. And I'm like, okay, but what are you doing in bed? Like, how is this going to help you? And, you know, some days I run away from everybody, including her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I need 5 hours. Don't call me. Don't look for me. Unless somebody is dying, honestly, I don't want to hear anything. Mm-hmm. And it won't even be up to 1 hour. I can even hear her screaming, like laughing and playing. And I'm like, oh, I miss her. Oh, my God. I need to sleep, but I miss her. Mm-hmm. And she always wins. I end up going down or whatever. And then that goes away, or like being at work all day when she comes back from school. That's why I also wanted her to start school really early to ease my mom guilt, but it didn't do anything for me.
It doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I still feel it. But yeah, that's definitely the hardest thing.
And do you feel that you would be happier if you didn't have a job and you were just at home, like, and you got to assuage this guilt because you're home full time, right? And you're with the baby and you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing as a perfect mom. No.
No, ma'am. I would hate myself. I would hate everybody around me. I would be miserable. I don't do well with not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Even when I was pregnant, they had to threaten me before I stopped going to work. Mm-hmm. And I still refused. I traveled at like past 8 months. That's not normal, but I did because I was like, no, I'm not ready. They're like, okay, but this baby's gonna come and she needs to be out of here. Yeah, so no, it's not for me. I mean, shout out to the people that do it. I envy you, but I couldn't.
And speaking of work, when did Ziva didn't start after you had, obviously you're talking about mm-hmm. Ziva while you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. When did that start exactly?
2016.
2016. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you've been, I mean, now it's grown so much. You guys even have a ranch in Abuja. We saw the pics again as your number one fan. Do you have like an Instagram like fan page?
Oh my God, I have a few.
You have a few? Oh, you have a few. You see, let's just stop this interview here. People that follow me at Nicole Chikwe. At Nicole Chikwe, where are you? Where are you? Can you hear?
I'm gonna create one. Saying? I'm gonna do
please,
one.
Please, someone. Fans. I'm looking around. I'm like, what
at
is
Nicole's
happening?
Fans. I'm gonna do one.
At Nicole's fans, exactly. Hashtag Premium Pie. We love her. She's so awesome. And then I can now repost from the page. Like, oh thanks so much, guys. Like, I love you too. My people, please wake up. Anyway, Tanya, thank you so much. Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it because I think it's about time that I had a fan club.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I've even lost my train of thought. How did we get onto fan clubs?
Ziva.
Yes, 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 yes.
When did it start?
When did that start? She said 2016, and now mm-hmm. you've expanded. Mm-hmm. You're now in Abuja. Like, how have you been able to do that and still being like a mom at the same time? How did Abuja even come about?
So I'll answer the how by giving up my sanity because it's no longer together. Yeah. That's the only way.
Fair.
Abuja, I've been wanting to do Abuja for so long, but I wasn't ready production-wise. And even now, I've kind of entered one chance because I have my own factory, but I also outsource to two other factories. And I feel like no matter how much I produce, it's just not enough. The more we produce, the more we sell. It's weird. So every
just look
time,
at that. Look at that grace of God. That's
it's
that grace.
Good problem, but
it's
it keeps
a good problem.
Me up at night. So now I found a third factory. They have higher numbers. So I'm hoping that, you know, I'm supposed to meet with them in a few days and sort out sampling and stuff. And I'm just praying that their production is as good as I need it to be. Because if not, I will not sleep forever. And yeah, so production was my biggest issue. It still is. But that's why I wasn't ready. But then I kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And they're like, you have to come. You have to do it. I'm like, no, okay, I'll do it next year. No, I'll do it next year. Do it next year. And then this lady messages me on Snapchat. And she's like, I have a store space for you in Abuja.
I was like, yeah, whatever. And I ignored. She messaged me back a few months later. Like, I'm serious about the store space or whatever. I was like, okay, how much do you want? She told me everything. I was like, yeah, this is a scam. No, thank you. Then she messaged me again at the beginning of this year. And she's like, listen, this space is low-key waiting for you. I want to give it to somebody in Lagos. I don't want another, like, Abuja person here or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was like, you know what? Let me send my friends there. So I had sent one friend, and another friend was like, oh, my God, I know her. I know her husband. I was like, okay, so this is not a scam. And then, long story short, found out that it was actually real, and she wasn't actually lying. She has been waiting for someone from Lagos.
Wow.
And, yeah, I paid way before I was even ready. And she's like, okay, so when are you coming? I'm like, I don't have enough things to bring, and I can't come. And everything will finish in one day. That
exactly.
Would be the target.
Mm-hmm.
So my rent was running. I was just like, whenever I go, I go. And then we went, and it was really good. Like, that day in particular. So, like, we do sales reports and everything. So, you know, I have a kids store as well.
Yes.
So I got Ziva Kids report. I got Ziva Lagos report. And then I got Abuja report. And I'm like, wow, only me in one day. And I went to bed and my heart was smiling. Like, I was like, yes, this was worth it. This was amazing. And now I want to keep expanding so I can be getting alerts from everywhere.
Amen. Amen. Because I love you. So I'm Igbo,
yeah.
Right? So anytime you say, like, alerts, like, me too, my own heart is smiling.
Apparently, I'm like, supposed to have been Igbo.
I believe so. We'll check. Let's do, like, let's check the fact, because the way you're talking, I'm like, there's something. This girl must be Igbo. That's incredible. I'm really, really happy. I'm really happy for you. I love Ziva clothes. If you're not a Ziva diva and you're in Lagos, in Nigeria now, I mean, what are you doing? Like, are you serious about being a big girl? I don't think so. So please check out Ziva Lagos,
yes.
Ziva Kids as well, mm-hmm. and support a mom. You know, this
sure
is a mom-led business. Come
easy.
On, ladies. It's important. It's not easy. We know it's not easy. So please make sure you check them out. Now, tell me about a day you felt like you had failed as a mom.
When I had COVID, I was, will I say in denial? I couldn't have been in denial because, okay, so we were supposed to travel for New Year's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you do the test now before you travel. I had packed my things. In fact, I was already in Dubai. I was just waiting for my body to get there. And then the day I'm supposed to leave, I get an email and it says, you know, positive. I was like, yeah, whatever. I went, I did another test, positive. I was like, you know what? This lab is falsy.
Obviously. you know, Nigeria can be somehow. So
let me do. I went somewhere else, positive. I even got a doctor to come to the house to do a rapid test, which is usually, it's always a false negative usually.
Yeah.
Okay, it was positive. So 5 tests later, I'm as positive as you can be. And I was like, okay, interesting. The isolation process, like you said, horrific. Like, I would hear her playing and crying or whatever, and I couldn't touch her. I couldn't see her. Then it got to a point where I was like, you know what? I can't do this. And I would wear, like, a full PPE, gloves, mask, everything, just to, like, walk around. And then she wants me to carry her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about this is making me depressed. Yeah, I failed. I felt like I had failed. That was really, really horrible.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are a lot of moms who can identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I've heard, like, moms talking about having COVID and how that felt and how it affected how things went, because again, like, we don't like to talk about these things,
mm-hmm.
but like I said, you know, I missed my whole daughter's birthday.
Yeah, I don't
because
know what I would have done.
That it was horrendous. And the thing is, so my two older kids are, well, at the time they were 7 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they understood, you know, like, I'm sick. So, and they know about social distancing from school and things like that. They're old, right? They're old
mm-hmm.
enough. So they would come to my door in the morning. So they would just knock, like, open the door and, like, wave. And then they would, you know, write me notes and draw for me
and
slide under my door. So that was nice. So at least I got to see them
mm-hmm.
a bit. But my daughter's, you know, she's 2. Well, at the time she was 1, you know, so she didn't understand. So if she should catch a glimpse of me, like, she'll try and, like, run into the room. Mm-hmm. Everyone be like, no. Then it would, you know, there was a day when, because Nato was sick as well. So for some reason, like, his door was open and she started running to him. And he knew that he couldn't, like, physically, like, stop mm-hmm. her. So he yelled at her, you know, just to, like, stop. So he was like, no, stop it. Get out. Get out.
Yeah.
And she just, like, she was so heartbroken because, like, Nato is, like, her entire life. So for him to, but he had to. So she starts crying, you know, he's trying not to be emotional.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just crying. I'm like, God. This is the worst thing ever. It was horrible. COVID has been so difficult. It's been so difficult. But I'm lucky. None of my kids got sick. So that was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really hard. That's a good one. It's a real sense of shame.
Yes, because you literally are so helpless and useless, in fact, because you cannot do anything.
Useless to everybody.
Okay, I don't think there's any Instagram post I did not see that period because I had nothing. I had nothing else to do. There's no Netflix I did not watch.
Oh yeah, no same. That's when
Twitter,
I watched Queen's Gambit, and
Snapchat,
I finished the whole Netflix.
A day.
Yeah, me too. Mm. That was my isolation
show. I watched every season.
Yeah,
of everything.
Mm. Yeah. It's horrible.
And then food wasn't, to be honest, the part that broke my heart the most after my child is I couldn't taste food.
Ah, that thing is pain.
It really, like,
it's very, very painful. And for me,
I'm like,
right?
This should be so yummy, but it tastes bland.
And for me, I'm like, okay, so I can't taste rice and stew, but jollof rice, I can't taste. But you know what? Okay. So, God. As you've taken away this taste, my appetite, let it go. So that at least I can come out of this thing, you know, a cute 5 pounds lighter.
Oh,
but no,
God.
I'm still hungry. So I'm like, how can I be hungry for food that I cannot taste? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
That was really depressing.
Yeah, that was tough. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that because I know you would have touched some people out there. So, Mom, if you've had COVID, you're not alone, sis.
Honestly.
It's rough.
Yeah.
So we're almost at the end now. If you could go back to the day before you had Sarai, what would you tell yourself?
I don't know, you know, because anything I would have told myself would have been useless. I'm already at the end. It's not going to change anything. If it was maybe the day before I got pregnant, it would be like, you know what, sleep, live your best life, mm-hmm. like turn up. I would have. In fact, a week, I just needed like 1 week. I would have been a nuisance to society.
Like, I love it.
If they were not insulting me that, oh, she's everywhere, I've not achieved anything.
I love that.
That's that. But a day before, you're useless. You can't, I could barely move.
Mm.
There was no conversation because it would not have done anything for me. But a week before, I would have lived my best life.
I love that. Yeah. That's a good one. I love that. Like, I was really hoping that maybe you'd say something like, maybe do like a Bible quote or something. But
No,
we're talking about turning up. And you know what? I love it because the truth is, if I could go back 1 week, if I go back then, I'd have been drinking.
I would have, in fact, my God, I wish I knew. I would have traveled. I would have. Now, the thought of traveling, first of all, I don't even want to know how people with more than one child do it. I'm going to ask you that in a second because with one kid alone, first of all, your load is out of this world.
Yep.
Then just, I don't know, everything. And they're expensive.
Yep,
they are. They are so pricey. No, it's a lot. Well, yeah, how do you do it with three kids? I don't think I can.
Well, the thing is, I left my, like, dignity. So my son was born in March. That day that he was born, I just had to leave, like, my mm-hmm. dignity behind. When I'm traveling, you know those, like, moms that you see on the plane, so disorganized. The children will be crying. One will be running here. Her shirt will be hanging out of her jeans. She will drop her bag. And you just be looking at, like, oh, what a mess. You know that mom? That mom is me.
Yeah.
That mom is me. I'm that one that I'm giving my kids to strangers. Just help, please. Can you just hold?
Yes.
Can you just hold? You know that mom? That mom is me. I can't lie. If you see me on the plane, You're good. As you just turn your face. I cannot lie, but I just need to do what I need to do so I can get where I need to get. And I just need everybody on the plane to just understand. Like, I'm doing my best. Like, I'm one of those moms. One person needs to go to the toilet. I'm like, look, please, hold. Just hold this one. Please, I'm coming. Because at least we're on the plane. You can't run away with the child. I'm coming. Like, I'm trying to. Then one is crying. Then my milk will now pour. Sorry. Don't be annoyed. It is me. I can't lie to you. Like, I'm not cute. I'm not trying to keep it cute. Like, that's why when I'm flying, you don't see my pictures. Like, oh, I'm flying because it's a hot ass. It's a hot mess. I can't do it.
That's one of the main reasons why I'm delaying this number two. Just thinking about like how to balance two kids. I cannot imagine it. In fact, it's not something it's making sense to me. Every time someone's like, yeah, when are you having another kid? I'm like, when I figure it out. I don't know how to split my time with one. How will I do that with two or three? And then God is funny. You cannot go and have twins.
That's the thing. God is funny, yo.
I'll leave the hospital. I'll leave everybody there.
See, I'm not interested. I'm not doing, please.
I don't even want to say the one that comes after twins so that I won't be like I'm speaking it into existence. But where do you begin? Where do you start from?
That's the thing. Like, you will, once you get there, it's like, okay, I'm now here.
I'm okay.
I cannot
here.
Return the baby. Oh, what no, am I going
I'm,
to do?
I'm very okay where I am.
Okay. Well, I mean, that, and that's perfectly fine. I also believe in women taking their time because you're the only person who knows your own circumstances. Huh. So I don't really like asking women, like, when they're going to have another child because you just don't know.
It's a weird.
So please, let's normalize that, women. Yeah. Don't ask, please. It's not your business.
Now when people
like,
ask
please,
me,
let's just leave
I'm
it.
Like, what if I had a miscarriage and you're asking me this stupid question? Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I said, no, you're stupid. Because you shouldn't have asked. Like, I don't know you. You're a stranger on the internet. Yet you're telling me, oh, you better hurry up. Hurry up where? Are you going to help me pay school fees? No. Are you going to help me take care of the baby? No. If the child is sick, will you help me? No. So what exactly is your business with how many kids? Okay, I want one child. How about that? Are you going to beat me? No. So now literally my answer is, oh, so if I had a miscarriage, how would you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole conversation changes. And I'm like, why did you do this
in the first place?
Like, so if I genuinely had a miscarriage, you'd be here writing nonsense that would be making me cry at home. Why?
It's horrible. I don't know why we don't seem to learn. So I was at a party like a couple of years ago, and there was a lady there who had recently gotten married, maybe like 4 months, 5 months into her marriage, whatever. And another woman, because it's always women.
Yep, always.
Men never ask. It's always women.
I've only had a guy ask me once, and that was quite extreme. My husband was like, I don't guess. Why are you rushing her?
I don't understand.
No, I had replied, and I was like, oh, I'm not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, what kind of thing is that? I'm going to call your husband, thinking that he was going to side him. So he went and he calls him, and he was like, oh, your wife is not ready to have another baby. You need to... And some people was just like, "What? You're not the one that married her. I'm not... Okay, we are not ready. And that was when he actually stopped, when he said he wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm. But when
so I'm
you
like, okay,
said
so
it.
So I'm not allowed to not be ready, but he's allowed, okay, I see how this works. Yeah, that's fine.
That's even a completely different, oh Lord, that's even a different
But yeah, you were saying.
So a lady comes up to her and rubs, like touches her belly and it's like, soon there'll be something inside there by now. And she was like, well, I wasn't quite ready to share, but I'm now going to have to share that I had a miscarriage 4 weeks ago. I lost twins.
Oh my God.
So I was on my honeymoon in a foreign country. I didn't speak the language. You know, they were just shouting at me in the ambulance. I couldn't understand what they were saying. The next thing, I'm in like an operating room because I had passed. So that's what, I mean, but anyway, so now you know. And I was like, oh my, she starts crying and shaking. I didn't know. She's like, well, then you don't do things like that. Like, why? I just, anyway, but that's like a completely different, you know, yeah. talking about like baby loss and miscarriages and how we react and so how we support women is a completely different, that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think we need to try and do better. And I'm just hoping that with these conversations, maybe people can be a bit
more.
I don't know.
We're not capable as Nigerians. I don't know about the rest of the world, but here, first of all, we're too nosy.
Yes.
Second of all, we're entitled.
Yes, that's
true. Thirdly, we don't know how to mind our business, so it can't work. They will ask you always.
But that's the thing. So, you know, we already live in like a country that does not work, yeah. right? So it's like, I don't really have anything else to do but be in your business because nothing is working.
Yeah.
So I might as well just look around.
They have things to do, but they choose not to do them because what is happening in my belly is really none of your concern, but sure.
Mm-hmm. So guys, please let's normalize.
Family, especially. I feel like family is worse.
Yeah, family can be a bit tricky.
They'll not give you... You're having a boy next. We need a son. Okay, what if I don't want a boy next? What do you mean?
But do we know that? You know, it's the husband, right? That determines.
Yeah,
like,
but they don't care.
Don't talk to me about that. Talk to your son.
They don't care.
If you want a boy, you discuss that with him.
Do you understand?
I don't have anything to do with it. Like, whatever shows up on the day is what shows up. So family, oh please, a big Justin.
Everyone be great.
We do. It's hard enough as it is. Just support us, I beg. Yeah. Please, we need it. So we've already spoken about Ziva Abuja. Mm-hmm. That was going to be like my next question. Because, you know, like I'm very big on plugging people and their businesses. I love it. Black owned, female led, mom led, Ziva, Lagos, Ziva Abuja, Ziva Kids, all of them. Any other thing? What else are we plugging for you?
It's coming. It's not ready.
It's not ready, but something's coming, so we should be on the lookout.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So, very last point. I feel I've had such a good time.
I know,
I'm actually not even ready for the episode to end, but we're almost at the end. So I'm obsessed with affirmations.
Okay.
I try and find one every day and kind of like sit on it and think on it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep saying this to myself throughout the day so it can just help me like center and focus. And the affirmation that I picked today is, I make a difference in the world by simply existing in it. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? I make a difference in the world by simply existing in it.
Well, first of all, I'm bomb, but that's just by the way. So I feel like with that, to me, it would just, it's almost like an encouragement to continue being an amazing person and someone that's trying to make a difference because so many people aren't. And the world is now a weird place. Like, it wasn't like this when we were growing up. So now it's even more important to be a good person. And, you know, when you realize that the line between life and death is so thin, and when you go, it's like, okay, you're gone. No matter what anybody does, you cannot come back. You know, how will people remember you? If you're just nice, someone will remember that one nice thing that you did. So to me, it would be to continue, you know, being me, living life on my terms, because that's the only way I can make a difference, by being myself, and by making an impact.
I love that. That was actually really awesome. For me, it's just a reminder that even with all of my numerous shortcomings, because God knows, I am an imperfect person, but even in my imperfections, I'm enough just by being
by
who I am, and just by existing, and just by existing, the world is better because I'm in it. But then, how do I live up to that? By being intentional about making the world better, and just being, like you said, just the world doesn't have to be like, you don't have to go and like find the cure to cancer, just being a good person, a nice person to the people around you. That's enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tanya. This was so awesome. Thank you for being as open and as honest. But everyone knows that you keep it. That's your whole thing. Like,
yeah,
you
that's
are.
That's why I avoid talking.
Because you are really, really real.
I'm really regretting that boil comment.
No,
but it's out there.
But it's out, listen, but it's so important because, okay. You know us. Let me share, right?
No,
so
no, that let we me both tell end. You why. No, I don't even mind because okay, I good. Really don't care. But you know when you just start thinking about headlines? I can't.
The thing is, out of everything that we've talked about today, we're talking about like the affirmation, about changing the world. It's like Tanya Omotayo reveals boil during pregnancy.
That's all I can think about. But yeah, it's funny. It's fine. We all have it. It's
we all not, have it. I had it too. Nicole Chikwe too had. Like
everybody I know had it's, it. It's, there's nothing yeah, you can do about it. Yeah. It comes with pregnancy.
It does.
It's okay. And we're trying fine. To normalize these things.
So. Exactly. With these kind of conversations. So yeah. Thank you so much. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening to Mom's Worst Day. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.